Thank you very much. I'm glad to talk to you today about oxygen producing bacteria in wheat rhizosphere. And I'm a graduate student actually, so I did not leave my advisor to give my presentation today. I'm going to try to cover oxygen history, objectives, methods, results, conclusion, and some future work. While auxin as a phytohormone was discovered for the first time by Darwin, then it was isolated from plant tissues. During that time, people discovered that auxin could control plant growth through controlling cell division, cell elongation, root formation, and other functions inside the plant. During that time, people discovered also that not only the plant produces auxin, but microorganisms could produce auxin too. At that time, people tried to understand why microorganisms produce such a plant hormone. Although there are some ideas about that, but we are not quite sure yet what the true or real answer for that. Also, it was discovered that the auxin could be synthesized by multiple pathways depending on the existence of tryptophan. So people were very interested in this microorganism, such as auxin-producing bacteria. So they tried to use it as a plant growth promoter to enhance the plant growth in different ways, and there are a lot of publications about that. So we actually, we tried to set some objectives. So our objectives are to isolate and characterize auxin-producing bacteria in wheat rhizosphere and test the association between auxin-producing bacteria and the plant productivity. So we, in order to do that, we started from the greenhouse when we planted wheat in 103 pots with unfertilized field soil. And we grow that for six weeks until Fekes 9 stage. So during after that, the harvesting day, we harvested the plant shoots and we collect the bacteria from the rhizosphere, and we categorize the plants into high, medium, and low according to the fresh shoot biomass. And we can see here we have the high plant biomass and medium and low, and here we have the fresh shoot biomass. Here we have the number of plants in each category. Here we have the high plant biomass average was around 7, and the average of medium was around 4.5, the average of low was around 2.5. And we can see here the wide variation among plant biomass. So, as I said, we extract the bacteria from the rhizosphere of high, medium, and low plants with 100 millimolar of pyrophosphate. Then we did the C-resolution and we plated the bacteria on TSA media with and without tryptophan. And then we isolated over 1,000 bacteria. We triple streak purify the bacteria. Then we grow the bacteria in liquid media with and without tryptophan for 2 days. Then we did the auxin assay on the supernatant by using the microplate adapted PC with Salco's case reagents in order to read it under 540 nanometer absorbance. Here we have an actual 96 microplate. And here we can see the red color indicates the auxin production. And also from this plate, we can see the wide variation in the red color indicating the wide variation in auxin production from each bacteria. So after that, we identified the bacteria by extracting the DNA from the cells. Then we PCR amplifying the 16S RNA gene. And we do the sequencing, DNA sequencing, in order to compare it with NCBI and the Ribosomal Database Project 2 in order to identify them. So what we got so far, we found that there was no effect of L-tryptophan, or there was no significant effect on L-tryptophan on the number of isolates. Here, we can see it from this table. We have the plant biomass, high, medium, and low, And we have the number of isolates with the tryptophan and here without tryptophan. And we can see here there was no significant difference in the number of isolates. Here we have the average of auxin production in each category. And we can see it, from this table, we have a plant biomass, high, medium, and low. And we have the average of auxin production without tryptophan measured by nanomolar, and here with the tryptophan measured by nanomolar too. Here we have the average of auxin production from bacteria associated with high plant biomass is much less comparing with the bacteria associated with medium category and low category. And in both cases, when we added tryptophan to the liquid media or to the bacteria, we found out the amount of auxin production increased, but in the three categories. But it's still the same thing. Here we have the less amount of auxin production comparing with the medium and low. And we did the analysis by using non-parametric color scale Wallis, one-way ANOVA, and we found there was a significant difference among high, medium, and low in auxin production. Here we have the maximum amount of auxin production from each bacteria. And here we have the, from this table, we can see the plant biomass, also high, medium, and low. And we have the maximum amount of auxin production without tryptophan, measured by nanomolar. And here we have the maximum amount of auxin production measured by, with the tryptophan, measured by nanomolar too. We can see here, this is still the same thing. Low amount of auxin production associated with high plant biomass. High amount of auxin production associated with low plant biomass. But when we added the tryptophan, the amount of auxin production increased tremendously up to this number, and it's still the, and it's associated with the high plant biomass. And we, if we compare it with the medium and low, we can see there was small amount. And the reason for that, we found a couple of bacteria produce high amount of auxin associated with high plant biomass, and I think it happens in nature. Here we have some bacteria produce very high amount of auxin, more than 228 nanomolar, and we named it as high auxin producers, and we found there was a negative relationship between the this type of bacteria and the plant productivity, as we can see it from this histogram. We have here the shoot plant biomass, and here we have the number of high auxin producing bacteria. And we can see here the low plant biomass is associated with high number of this type of bacteria. And also we have the high plant biomass is associated with low number of this type of bacteria. Here we have some bacteria produce auxin without tryptophan, and as we know, they use tryptophan-independent pathway to produce it. So we have here the shoot plant biomass, we have the low plant biomass is associated with low number of this type of bacteria, and high plant biomass is associated with high number of this type of bacteria. And we found there was a linear relationship between the plant biomass and the number of this type of bacteria. And we have found also that the highest amount of auxin production by this type of bacteria was about or around 40. Here we have some examples from the literature when they mentioned some bacteria produce auxin and they use it as plant growth promoter. And here we have Lamprecht suggested this model as auxin producers to help the plant to increase the root size in order to enhance that nutrient uptake, and then we reflect on the plant growth. And so from this we can see the plants can live with the bacteria or auxin producing bacteria in a cycle. And here Khaled used the same bacteria as Borrelia brasiliens as a plant growth promoter and auxin, he mentioned it's auxin producers. And the Spapen mentioned that this bacteria use tryptophan-dependent pathway to produce auxin. Here we have the most abundant genera in each category. Here we have the plant biomass, high, medium, and low. at. Here we have the tryptophan-independent auxin producers. Here we have the highest inducers when we added tryptophan. And here we have the highest producers with and without tryptophan. Here we have the reducers with tryptophan. Here we have in category, in high category, we found flavobacterium and some uncategorized bacteria, and we found acinobacter in medium and low. And in the highest inducers with the tryptophan, we found most of them in low plant category, microbacterium and acinobacterium, and some uncategorized bacteria. Also, we found out that some highest producers, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, with and without tryptophan, they produce very high amount of auxin. We have Shinella and Agrobacterium here. In the case of highest reducers, or the most reducers, when we added tryptophan, found Acromobacteria and some uncategorized bacteria in case of high, and Agrobacterium and other bacteria, and some here in Bacillus in the case of low plant biomass. Here we have the overall relationship between auxin producers and the plant biomass, and here we can see the amount of auxin production and the number of rhizobacteria in each category. And here we have the bacteria associated with high plant biomass and medium and low without the tryptophan, and here with the tryptophan. And we can see here from this table, although there are a lot of lines, but here we can see the high number of low auxin producers associated with high plant biomass comparing with medium and low, and in both categories without the tryptophan and with the tryptophan. If we go to the end of this, the scale, let's say, we have the high auxin producers, high number of high auxin producers are associated with low plant biomass, comparing with lower number of high auxin producers are associated with high plant biomass. So in conclusion, we can say high auxin producing bacteria with and without tryptophan are associated with low plant biomass, and low auxin producing bacteria with without tryptophan are associated with high plant biomass. Also, we have tryptophan independent auxin producers are associated with high plant biomass. What we are going to do next, we will identify all tryptophan independent auxin producers because they are important, as we saw. And also, we will identify some high auxin producers, some low auxin producers, and we will test them for plant growth and promotion. So finally, I want to acknowledge Dr. Anderson. He's my advisor who helped me to finish this project and led me to stand before you today. Rosie Menandar used to work in our lab, helped me in my project too. Division of Agricultural Science and Natural Resources at Oklahoma State University, and the Iraqi Ministry of Higher Education and Scientific Research for supporting this project. Thank you very much. If you have any questions.
Thank you. We have time for a few questions for Mohammed.
Yep.
Why do you have a hypothesis of why the high auxin producers are associated with low biomass production?
Well, it's kind of, we can say, as a curve. The plant can tolerate, can accept low amount of auxin until the optimum amount of auxin. Then after that, when we increase the amount of auxin, that will affect negatively on the plant growth. So, yep.
Have you looked at considered the endogenous cytokine levels in the plants that are associated with high auxin bacteria? Do you have low cytokine production possibly?
I didn't study any other other than auxin.
I have a quick question. Why did you cultured on, you did plate cultures,
yep,
to collect the bacteria. Why did you decide to do that, and do you think that there were any other bacteria that may have been in the rhizosphere that weren't culturable?
Exactly. There are many types of bacteria we cannot culture, but we need to culture this bacteria because we want to grow them in the liquid media in order to collect the auxin and something like that. So,
okay.
should be easier, actually, saving time also. Yes, please.
Why do we culture in TSA and hire? Is there a full strength TSA?
Yeah. Excuse me, again, please.
Why did you culture TSA?
Why did you use full strength TSA?
Was it 0.02% of those? 0.02%?
Well, it's, it's here. It's the common way to culture bacteria. I mean,
well, TSA is
tell if you have a question.
Is probably, like Mohammed said, very common. It collects a wide range, probably the most common used. But the question is whether 1x or 1/10x. Many people have used 1/10x, and that may have been better to do it on 1/10x, because many isolates you can divide them into two types: those that respond to abundant nutrients, like the 1x, versus those that respond to very limited nutrients. And we may be missing those in this project.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because I would think that it has a lot of amino acids in it.
Well, yes, I don't know what you mean, but not tryptophan. No, it doesn't have tryptophan. Mm-hmm. TSA does.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you. Mohammed. Thank you very much.
And I'm going to put one more call for the last speaker. Last speaker in the room. Okay. If not, I'm going to kind of go into a little bit of a discussion for those of us that wish. I know our Oklahoma State contingent is still here. Not all of our speakers are still in the room. And Henry Chow is still in the room as well. So if there are any questions or discussion, I guess one of the things that I wanted to bring up in this, in looking at plant microbe and soil interactions, we've heard a lot about some different methods in order to identify some of the different microbes that may be in the rhizosphere. I guess there's been very little talk about some of the functionality of some of these organisms. And so I guess I want to kind of to bring that out as an issue and find out from some of our speakers if they're looking at all at some functionality. Obviously, the auxin producing, they are looking at that functionality. But any other functionality that may be going on, it's a complex environment, and I oftentimes think that just because an organism may be there doesn't mean that it's doing what you want it to do, and that obviously plant growth dynamics, as we've seen with just biomass production, may affect some of that functionality. So if any of the speakers want to kind of address that a little bit, and I know that Henry Chow also looked a little bit at functionality as far as soil water repellency, but.
Functionality is a real issue here, and the work that we're doing is we're trying to tie the community to productivity. That's the only limitation of what we call functionality. At least we believe that those bacteria that we've been looking at are more highly associated with some aspect of productivity, whether it's providing hormones, whether it's providing nutrient efficiencies, or any other mechanisms. We don't know what the mechanisms are for any of those bacteria. We're just trying to screen for those that may be involved in enhancing type biomass. Using a molecular approach, which is very unique, it's the first time I've ever seen this done in this way, this correlation study like this. So we can't put any functions on any of these bacteria that we're looking at. And that's a very, very important point. Now, there were a couple of other talks yesterday about metagenomics. studies, and those have the potential of providing more functional information. But as the speakers indicated, there's still a lot of problems with metagenomics. Pyrosequencing is not the best way to approach metagenomics type of research, but they are making significant progress in that area to determine at least functional pathways that are affected by individual communities. And so I think in the future, and like I indicated to Dr. Kramer, pretty soon there's going to be a quantum leap in our capability to do the sequencing, to improve the amount of information content on it. There's approaches out there for sequencing whole genomes or whole much larger pieces of DNA than we had before. And if we're able to do that, then we will be much better at looking at functional genes that are associated with ribosomes. The way people look at this nowadays is they treat the rhizosphere as an organism or the soil as an organism, and they look at which genes are stimulated and which ones are not, just like the living plants. That's a very, very powerful approach, but the technology is not quite there to give a great deal of confidence in it. But pretty soon, I think the advances will come where that technology will be readily available.
Yeah.
How do you perceive using this technology, let's say the advances that you were suggesting will occur, and how eventually will that benefit production agriculture?
Okay. The rhizosphere is a real black box. We believe that the rhizosphere has a huge impact on plant productivity because mostly a large percentage of the photosynthetic carbon is exuded through the rhizosphere, which benefits the microbial community. The plant isn't going to invest that much carbon into something that's not going to get something useful back. That's just not the way nature works. And so there's a strong belief that, yes, there is a very important component in the rhizosphere. What we have to do is isolate it, identify it, and then through techniques, and there are people that are working on this, who've worked on it for a long time, to try to inoculate the soil with some of these organisms that may be more positively associated with productivity. And if we can do that, we might be able to reduce the amount of nitrogen fertilization, the amount of environmental impact on our soils, improve our soils. If we can define better what is a healthy rhizosphere, we can make more informed decisions on what can better affect what better agricultural practices can be useful in improving the environment. So there's a lot of possibilities out there to help improve not only the agricultural production, but also the environmental impact of agriculture, which is a major issue. Yes.
So I may not have grasped everything in Mohammed's last talk, but it's my understanding that you were, with the pure cultures, you were trying to get at the low auxin producers versus the high auxin producers. But how are you then comparing and having your, I don't think I totally understand the controls where you're looking at the biomass that you don't have the auxin producers. I mean, your hypothesis
No,
just no auxin present at all. So no microbially produced auxin, and getting at that issue, because it seems like with the low auxin producers, you are seeing an increase in biomass, so they would presumably be helping increase the biomass. But then when you're producing the too much auxin, that is inhibitory. So, but if you can zero in on the right level and the right rate of auxin, which are effective at really low dosages anyway, then that's really kind of what you'd be trying to get at. And when you're working in pure culture versus a microbial community, you know, pure culture is going to produce way more of that auxin anyway versus a microbial community when you have millions of bacteria there.
Well, there are some publications about that. They mentioned that some bacteria produce high amount of auxin in the rhizostream compared with the pure culture. And some bacteria produce low amount of